Lord, no, I don't want anyone, because I say you need to. Don't want anyone to do anything until in your heart you know this is right and what I should do to follow Him. If you will turn this morning with me to the book of Genesis, I know six, probably seven times, there's been a midweek message from creation that evidences, or our salvation evidenced in creation and in the 6 days. That's been with just me here, and I intended on doing this one, the creation of man, the second part. I intended on doing it Thursday evening, and 2.5 or 3 hours my morning was disrupted with little of nothing. Then I thought I would do it Friday evening, and even John came down here and got everything ready. And by the time I got through, the way I felt, and knowing that Larry would be in much worse shape than me, I did not do it that day, because he has such an interest in that, and that's his ministry, that he would stay up in much pain just to get it published on Sermon Audio and the website he's created here. That which I was working on for today, it meant nothing to me. This is the only thing that I could in any way feel that it might be the Lord's will for me to do this. And I shall see. I trust through your prayers and God's great help that you might benefit within your soul, and God might have something to say to you. We'll begin reading in a few moments from verse 26. Just reading verse 26, 27, and 28. Because the last time I was here, I dealt with the creation of man, and this is the same. I do not know if this will be the last. If there is a third, I hope to do it with you not here, because it will only be that you've heard time and again. But I don't know about that, and I don't know about the seventh day. We will wait and see. But would you bow with me? Would you pray with me for divine help? And that our God and Christ be glorified. Our Father, the great Creator of all things, there's nothing out there that you did not create. I know we see a lot of things that man has built new, but they could only build by using the materials that you made. And we always must come back to God, our Creator and Creator of the world and all things therein. My Father, we come to look again at your greatest creation. That man, and from him all people, all, every nation, from him the world has been populated. Lord, if it's pleasing, give us help. Help in deliverance. A right mind following only thy Spirit. Father, would you fix hearts? There are those that came in without the heart fixed. Would you give them this moment that their heart might be prepared to hear? And then the end, as we close today, that we can say, God was so good, and our blessed Lord Jesus was so exalted. Father, would you do this for us, for thy great name's sake? In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. The other 5 days, I don't know if you've been there, I don't know if you've had time or interest in listening to creation here. But the other 5 days in creation, it is said that God said, and it was so. Immediately, it was what God said, let there be. And it was good. So God created. And then God made. And the Son of God went on earth. Sometimes he would simply say, and it would be. Like when he and the disciples were in that great tempest, and he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, word only, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Whatever he said that should be done, he did. His word brought results, as it will in you if God gives ye hearing ears and a good heart for it to fall upon. Other times, he touched the leper and he was clean. He made clay and he anointed the eyes of one that was blind, and he saw. In the room with the dead young maiden, he took her by the hand and said, "Rise." And life came back, and she arose. Walked in the house of Peter, where his mother-in-law lay with a heavy fever upon her, and he touched her. And immediately the fever left, and she got up and ministered unto them. The first 5 days, all we heard from Moses here, the penman, was under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. It was what God said for it to be. It became when God said, "Let there be." And throughout so much of the Old Testament, what God did was simply saying. And then there were times that he put forth, I'd say physical effort, but he didn't. By the word of his mouth, all things were done. And the children of Israel come to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and the Egyptian army behind him. And the Lord commanded Moses to lift up his rod and stretch it out over the sea. And in that there was the actions of a man at the word of the Lord. And that night the Lord caused the sea to part by a strong east wind. Here two things are used to provide passage. The command of God to his servant, and the strong wind which parted the sea that God commanded it be. Now neither of these was necessary. God could accomplish his will by simply saying, "See, you divide to the upper spring, and this part divide to the lower spring, and let there be dry ground," it would have been. But God often used means in accomplishing his will. In accomplishing his salvation, though the work was finished from the foundation of the earth, God put upon every one of you a great responsibility to hear and to follow whatever God said. David said, "Lord, shall I go against the Philistines like other times?" And God said, "No. No, you wait till you hear the sound in the mulberry trees, and then you go." God caused the wind to blow there in the mulberry trees, and David knew that's the hand of the Lord, and we're to go to battle. Now, the work of God was stretched out over 6 days. Not because 6 days were needed. God could have said, and in an instant, everything would have been created. But what God did was necessary only for you. And God said, "It was so." And then God looked at it and said, "It's good." There was a pause that came about in the work of God that the children of God might stop and meditate upon each single day and the work done. You take time not only in meditating upon the 6 days of God's work, but in all things God said. your work comes to an end, and you find time, just you and God. The light of God in that day faded into darkness, as in your lifetime, God giving us time to consider each day individually. Used to be a time when men and women had to be in the house by dark. Only light they had was an old oil lamp or something. And God fixed it that way that they might gather together. They might be a family united, and that they would have time with one another. Now your life, your journey consists only of days, not weeks, not years. If you keep looking ahead for tomorrow, next year, or next month, you missed what God had for you this day. God didn't need to rest at the end of each day. He made it for you. You to find time, you make time to rest. Prayer of Moses in Psalm 90. Verse 12, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Nothing said about a week there, or a month, or a year. All I want, Lord, is you to teach me to number my days. If your life is divided only into weeks, got to get this accomplished next week, and you don't take each day as a day, don't group it together with the rest of the days, or you lose that day. You can't lose today daydreaming about what tomorrow's going to be, or looking for events that's coming that might bring excitement to your life. Pharaoh asked Jacob, how old are you? In Genesis 47, he said, the days of the years of my life have been 138. Do you see what he did there, children? Psalm 118, this is the day the Lord hath made. And special emphasis was placed upon the day that God rested. Now we do not celebrate the Jews' Sabbath being the day God rested. We've moved into the New Testament and we celebrate and worship the day Jesus Christ arose from the dead. And now our Sabbaths are the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Proverbs 27. You don't know what a day is going to bring forth. You ought to be so with the Lord that as the day closes, that you might be ready to meet Him if the night is the last night you spend on earth. But we're not like God, are we? Well, that's an obvious answer, but I'm talking about in resting. We get through with the day's work, we sit planning on tomorrow's work. What I got to get done. God could have said, and in the blink of an eye, this world, all worlds, the universe, man, woman, could have been in an instant. But his pause was to show his children, you need to stop and consider as the day comes to a close. And you look back at the end of the day in the darkness, you look back and you see, was this day used? Was my time some way in this day beneficial to me as a child of God? Or was God not in all my thoughts today? God didn't create in an instant, but his work spanned over 6 days, so that you would benefit from this day. We don't, children, we lose them. Can I say, and will I be able to say, in my actions as night gets here, and what I did, it was good? Will I be able to say that, knowing all the while there's sin in every lesson I set before you that I don't even know about? Sin in every prayer. Thank God we've got a merciful high priest. And as his child, or as his child was taught to pray, our Father, which art in heaven, give us this day. Now, you know I skipped a part there. I just wanted the emphasis to be when it turned towards us from God and His glory, our concern was that He would give us this day. Every day that you walk down here, it's a gift from God. We don't know what we missed. We don't know how we could have used it more wisely without that daily pause. In our world, life is so hectic. To find a few moments, it's difficult. Meal time. This one comes in, fixes his plate, and heads out there. The other one comes in. And you don't gather as a family. And you lose the benefit of that. We've used the days of our years, so many of them without a pause. Our life having become so hectic, you rarely have time to stop. And when you do stop, your mind keeps going on what you've got to do the next day. But God stopped for your benefit. What if God could I have seen in His providence today? What had a message from God for me in the event that took place? Like I told you, of interruption, I sat there the entire time listening and saying, God, what's this for me? Am I to react? But I had nothing to give. And I sat there in silence listening to folks 70 times. The word Selah is used in the Psalms. 3 times in Habakkuk and 1 time in the prophets. 74 times. That little word was what Brother Avery was working on back in the 70s. Don't know how much he got done. Don't know if his wife was able to preserve. She did preserve some. But the little word means to lift up. It's a musical term showing a pause or an interruption. The action of emphasizing something. And you that know music and the scales there, you know when that pause is supposed to be. More so in life, we shouldn't pause quite often. But how many of our days run together and we live from week to week instead of living each day and bringing that day to a close? We're considering what happened to me. How did I use it? Was it wise? Was it for God's glory? Instead of living in each day, they've all been so united. You don't remember last Tuesday? Well, much of it should have been forgotten as you moved into Wednesday, but what was gained in last Tuesday's looking at the Lord and providence in your life? You know what we've done? We like a string of pearls. We look at a necklace and we look at the whole and not the beauty in each individual pearl. Isn't your life like that? You know what's going to end up being, folk? You take a 5,000 piece puzzle, beautiful landscape, and you want to put together, and you open the box. And when those pieces fall out, they're all joined together. And you never had the opportunity of searching that individual scene and finding out where in the overall picture does it go. Couldn't examine. That's what's going to happen. You're not careful at the end of life. Your life's going to be that puzzle. It comes to a close and you never fit one piece after another, one day after another. There's this little game, I guess you could call it, that I enjoy at the end of the day. And you're given 2 pictures. And you're to find the difference. And there might be 1 or 2 that are obvious. And then there might be some with a little searching you could find the difference. But there are some that are so hidden that you've got to search that picture time and again, comparing it to the next. And after 2 or 3, my eyes begin to get a little weary and I can't find it. And that's where I stop. Find the difference, children, in your walk today than in your walk yesterday. Has there been an improvement? Are you going to let life end, having lost everything but the memory of those special days? aren't you hastening through life with certain goals in front of you that if you miss, you've lost so much? And how many views has God in a day given you? But you lost because you didn't have time. Now everything that you have seen, everything that you know about, from the farthest galaxy, the farthest star, all things that you've been able to see, that which you now know about that scientists discovered, but they couldn't discover it with the naked eye. But God in 5 days made all. Paused, and he now comes to his highest, his greatest, his most excellent, and most noble work of all in those 5 days. But there's so much in those 5 days that you see. Sun rising, moon coming up, the approaching rain, the mountains, the valleys, the rivers, the oceans, over 1 million different species of animals, each with a different look, each with its own characteristic, yet these all fail. Everything, folk, all that God created fails in comparison to that last day of God's creative work. It is the only day in which it is said that God put forth his hand, took a piece of clay, and God formed it, breathed into it the breath of life. How astonishing, how amazing is that man? You got two eyes with the ability to see in an instant farther things away and turn and view close things up. But if you were looking through binoculars or a microscope, you'd have to continually be adjusting. No camera's ever been made like your eyes. Never been anything that would compare with a mind and brain that can function greater than any machine. You say, well, computers. Well, hold on now. Your mental capacity can analyze, can compute, can solve problems, can make you know that you need help. You've just dropped a big object on your little toe, and the pain, the throbbing, instantly your brain knows that, having been sent through nerve cells. Now what about your machine? God gave them the material. Well, I know that when in some of the things that they found in creation, they transformed and used. But God still made every machine. And as much as they can do for you, they are limited to that they were programmed to do. You got that nervous system, transmits. You need to get help to your heart, to your lungs, to your eyesight, or to your hearing. And there's a little pump in you that circulates blood, wherein is life to every part of your body. close to 100,000 miles in a grown human. If you take the blood vessels out and lay them end to end, man can transmit electricity a great distance. But he's got substations to pick it up and increase it and go to the next one. Man's built pipelines that fluid could flow through for 2,000 miles, such as the Keystone. There are two others greater than that. Comes down from Canada out to the Midwest all the way down to Texas. But how many pumping stations must there be along the way to increase the pressure? Not man's heart. It'll rush that blood to every beat through thousands of miles of vessels, blood vessels, and work for 70 to 100 years. Tell me something man's built like that. You've got 11 different body systems, each with its own function, all working together for the good of the whole. No wonder David in Psalm 139 could say, "I am fearfully." That is dreadful or reverence to. I'm fearfully made. That causes astonishment in me, David said, by using the word fearfully. But he added wonderfully. That is to be distinct. God made me fearfully, or I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Do you think David was looking at man and seeing all this working together in a human being? Or was he looking at man having been made in the image of God? He says, "I reflect that image in me." That's God's sixth day of work. Now, it appears in our text in verse 26. When God said, "Let us." First time ever it's used. There, the Godhead, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it appears to us that they are deliberating such a magnificent work that they would do. God, that is the great three in one, has been creating, but they come to that special emphasis on the greatest of all his works and times taken to consider. God, seemingly there in the Godhead, there's a deliberation prior to God beginning his last day's work. Do not think that that shows weakness in the Godhead. Neither is it indicating that the Son could bring something to the Godhead or the Spirit could add something to the Godhead that the Father didn't know. That's not why the pause is here. When God called them together, each knowing all things, nothing unknown to any. Nothing. Neither of them were deficient in any area. I think it was the ninth grade. I can't. It might have been science when the teacher assigned us do this work and be through in 20 minutes. And she walked out of the room. And the boy next to me said, let's put our desk together. I said, she told us to do it individually. He said, I know, but two minds are better than one. You can put every man's mind, woman's mind together. There's not the least thing that you can compare that human being knowing all things has all of a sudden become God in what he knows. God didn't need to be more careful in his planning. He didn't need to make sure that this, the greatest of all creation, was right before he began. And he called the Son and the Spirit and said, let's plan this, let's get it right. Make sure before we begin. That's not God. Unlike a company or a corporation beginning with a new project that's more complicated than any they've ever had. A problem has arisen maybe in construction. And they call in the different heads of every department. The master carpenter, the electrician, the designer of each thing there, the plumber, and the many engineers that have designed. They call them all in and say, now let's get our heads together and see if we can handle or solve this problem. You remember Apollo 13 and the trouble it got in? And the head of NASA said, get everybody that had anything to do with the least bulb, the least socket, the least thing, and get those that designed that. Get them in here. They were three men that they had to get back to Earth and didn't have the power to do it. God didn't do it like that. God already knew. But never has there been a greater work and creation, but God seemingly paused before he began. You carefully consider, plan, make sure everything's right. Like you getting something that you got to put together, and it's 20 pages of instructions. And sometimes in trying to do that years ago, I thought, the designers of this didn't have sense enough to write simple instructions. But God wouldn't lay out all the pieces. God wasn't carefully looking at the instruction when he said, let us make man. The seemingly pause before the beginning was not due to some deficiency that one of them might have had. Darkness encroaching where God ceased each day's work. God didn't cease it because he had to regain energy and strength that was lost, diminished in his work that day. It wasn't like that for the Son of God, though. John 4, he being weary with his journey, he sat down there at the well. He, crossing the sea with his disciples, worn out. And he goes to the hinder part of the ship and lays down there and goes to sleep on a pillow. Another day in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. None of that was in the Godhead. But the pause in each day's end and seemingly consultation prior to the 6 days' work was for his people. I want all of you to stop. I want you to consider your daily works. I want you to see what crossed your path that I might have had a message in it for you. I'm not saying everything We just can't see that in many things. But here, for you to look and see, special emphasis and thought is placed on the highest, most esteemed work that God ever did. Just look at the world. Worlds. And it didn't compare. When God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. John 6, Jesus saw a great company coming and he said to Philip, where are we going to get bread to feed these? He didn't say it, ask the question, because he needed an answer. He said it to prove Philip. He knew what he was going to do. He wasn't gathering information. He wasn't enlisting the help of Philip to get him out of the situation and solve the problem. That's not what God's doing here, children, when he said, let us. It's for your consideration. Only for your consideration. It's not the Godhead communicating with each other. We're going to make this man, he's going to be crowned with honor and majesty above all creation. He's going to have dominion over God's creation. Now, what God's saying to you is for you to stop and you to look at the dignity that he placed on his last work. In the very image and likeness of God, said two times. There stands at the completion, molded from clay, yet filled with wisdom no man could ever compare to prior to his fall. Goodness, filled with mercy, filled with love, would immediately began to do good works to his fellow man and for God, for God's glory. A man that could make the greatest of judgments. He could assimilate the facts with the wisdom to apply, okay, this goes here, that animal's behaving this way, therefore it shall be called this. Intelligence flourished in that man. And that intelligence could be increased. From day to day. By the way, did I tell you he was made in the likeness of God? And Jesus grew in wisdom. I don't know how great the mind of Adam was. It's greater than all the scientists put together. Than all the theologians put together could describe. And there walked a man just like the God-man. Now in day six, you're coming to the end of God's works. If in these 5 days, now six, we see the work of God in recreation. God told you about each individual day. Because each individual day has something to do with you being brought out of darkness, light given to you, by you increasing in the knowledge of God and wisdom. And when life is drawing nigh, folk can look and say, there was a man whose heart was after God. There was a woman that was so godly. No wonder her children were like this. No wonder his children were like that. And you got a converted man standing at the completion of God's creation in the image of Christ. You use each day, children, to draw nigh to God when you pause in your work. And you use each day, look back. Am I being conformed? Am I being conformed to the image of God? Am I being transformed by the renewing of my mind? Is the image of the old Adam, is it becoming weaker and weaker? Like the house of Saul. But it said of the house of David, it grew stronger and stronger. And at the end of lifetime, will you be there reflecting God's greatest work, even above creation of Adam? Is the recreation of the fallen sons of Adam into the very likeness of our Lord. God didn't need 6 days. God didn't even need 6 seconds. But he divided his work into 5 days. And then he comes to the greatest. And before ever he begins here, the Godhead is saying, let us. How much of Adam's image are we losing? How much of Christ's image are we manifesting? It's a life-death issue, children. May the Lord help each of us in focusing, drawing nigh, and growing in likeness to the blessed Son of God.